All right, we'll be over in John, the first chapter of John. We started last week on speaking on the subject of John the Baptist, and we have some reasons for kind of laying this groundwork, looking into some things as we're going to take some time in this area. But I wanted to point you to some degree to John the Baptist, and I explained that last week is because Jesus did. Jesus spoke of him, and he pointed to him as the great prophet, none greater in the kingdom of God, he said. And I want you to understand, and we've got to get a hold of this, that when he said that and when we're talking about that, we're not just talking about the fact that he was a great man. But he was a great man, a great prophet, because of what he believed and what he did, how he conducted himself. In the Bible, when you'll find out anybody lifting up some individual, you'll always find out that it's because of their faith in God. Their greatness came because of their great God. We have a great God, amen? And if any person is great in their faith, it's because they have great faith in God. It's what God's done through their life. It's not what they themselves have done. And I think that's the point that we want to mention as we talk about John the Baptist. But on the other hand, it's very important because Jesus pointed us to him, took notice of him. And if Jesus did that, then we need to take notice to what it was that John the Baptist believed and what he did. Because I look back and I believe that I'm an independent Baptist. That's what I am. I am a Baptist. I'm not ashamed of being a Baptist. And we go back to the beliefs of John the Baptist. You go back to what he believed, what he preached, what he taught. And we can establish ourselves as a Baptist. Going clear back there, we are Baptist. We're not Protestant. Now, there's a lot of people get that all mixed up. We're just a Protestant. No, we're not Protestant. We didn't come out of the Catholic Church. Protestantism come out of the Catholic Church. And we did not. We are Baptist. And I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I'm glad I'm a Baptist. Now, I'm not always thankful for what all Baptists do. And I'm not saying that all Baptists is right down the line doing right. I'm not saying no such thing. And we've got to be careful ourselves. You see, just because we put the name Baptist up doesn't mean a whole lot in today's world. It doesn't mean really a whole lot because you've got all kinds of Baptists out there. But what I want to be sure is when we call ourselves an independent fundamental Baptist church, it's because we believe right. We believe the Bible. And you can go back and believe the things that John the Baptist believed and preached and taught. And that's what we want to be sure. Now, we're not member of this. Don't go from the class saying, boy, he's pointing everybody to John the Baptist. I'm only pointing us to John the Baptist as Jesus pointed us to John the Baptist. Jesus is our Savior. Jesus is the one we look up to. Jesus is the one we honor. He's the author and finish of our faith. And there's none other. But he did point us to John the Baptist concerning some things. And so I wanted to stress that again, and I did that last week, to just kind of be sure that you understand where we're coming from, because we want to get some kind of background. There's a lot, most of yous are old enough to have seen some things. And again, I look to our older Christians. Now, that doesn't mean you're old, but I mean you've got a little age on you. You're not the young group. A lot of the young group does not know what it means when they talk about American Baptist Convention or some of these conventions, some of these liberal things. They don't even know what they're talking about. They've not been in the midst of it. They grew up in an independent fundamental Baptist church. They never saw the liberalism that took a hold of that. When they see a name Baptist on a church, they just look at it as though it's just, yeah, it's a Baptist. But it isn't. Most of those churches are not Baptists. And you get in, you're not true Baptists. Let me put it that way. They got a name up there. But when you get into the American Baptist Convention, you get into the Southern Baptists anymore. Southern Baptists used to be straight and narrow, right down the line, years ago. But they're leaning, going this same direction now. American Baptist Convention went that way a long time ago. They went liberal. They went a long way from the beliefs of what the old-fashioned Baptists believe. They've come a long way from that. So I guess what I'm, you know, maybe we ought to be teaching this to the younger ones too. But they need to understand something, folks. There's been some battles fought back there. I mean battles. There's battles fought before I ever came around, but I fought some battles. But they was fighting them before I ever got there. And there was some battles fought to be Baptist, to be independent Baptist, to withdraw from those conventions and stand and make a stand as a Baptist. And there's been battles fought. A lot of the younger people growing up in this church, we've got to educate them to some degree, but to some degree they'll never understand because they've never been there. They've always been here in an independent fundamental Baptist church and they don't know what it means. When we talk about the old liberal Baptists, they have no understanding what it means because it wasn't there. They didn't fight the battles. So we've got to help educate them, to help them to understand what they have. They have a heritage. And it's a great heritage. And we got to uphold that heritage. As I said, I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist. I am a Baptist. I'm an independent fundamental Baptist. And the reason we're independent fundamental Baptists is because the old convention Baptists went the wrong way and the independent movement was started. It's not a convention. It's not a connected together with churches are not connected together. We just fellowship together. But we're not connected together in a convention type in any way. No way. Every independent Baptist church runs their church the way they believe God wants it run. And hopefully we'll do that according to the Bible. Amen. But that's what an independent fundamental Baptist church does. You see, and so anyway, if you get some understanding, because and the reason I'm stressing that, because if you grew up in a convention church, you have probably some old convention thinking, if that hasn't been reversed and if that hasn't been changed. You have some old convention thinking that is so unscriptural. You see, so you've got to be very careful, make sure that what you're thinking is not just some convention or some tradition, but it's Bible. Okay? And so this is part of the reasons that I want to kind of hone in on some of this, and we want to talk about John the Baptist. But John the Baptist over in verse 29 of chapter 1 of John says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Now, John the Baptist taught the deity of Jesus Christ. We covered this here last week. We talked about this last week, this verse of Scripture even, and talked about, but he understood, John the Baptist understood something. Jesus is the Lamb of God. He's not a Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Lamb of God that God sent, and he sent him to take away the sin of all the world. Now, you might say to me, well, we understand that. We know that. Why are you stressing that? Well, it's important to understand because in liberalism and all kinds of things like this, they're taking the blood out of of their preaching and teaching and sometimes their songs and all kinds of things like this. But he became the Lamb, the sacrificial Lamb that died for the sins of all the world. And he's the only one. He's it. John the Baptist pointed everybody to Jesus Christ. There he is. Behold, look at him. There he comes. There's the Lamb of God. And what did the Lamb of God do? He taketh away the sin of the whole world. Amen. So again, we still believe that. Amen. We're Baptists, yes, but we believe that. But why? Because it's Bible. Amen. We believe it because the Word of God says so. And then in John, the first chapter, the 15th verse, he said, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of course in verse 30, and I think we read some of these, but we may repeat on some of the reading of these verses. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. John the Baptist taught the preexistence of Jesus Christ. Jesus preexisted. Jesus has always been. He's always been. He's God. And John the Baptist understood that. He didn't have any trouble with that. Well, you see, we believe that. Amen? Yes, as Baptists, we believe that. But why do we believe it? Because the Bible says so. Because it's Bible. See, the preexistence of Jesus Christ, he's always has been. And those are important doctrines, folks. We can't get off of those. We've got to remember he always has existed. He always has been. The Son of God has always been. He's not just something that came into existence when he was born into this world. No, he always has been. See, he's God. You see, he's God the Son. Not only that, and you might turn over to Matthew also and hold your place in John, because we'll be going back and forth maybe in Matthew here for a little while too. But ninth verse of Matthew 3, the third chapter of Matthew, sorry, third chapter, the ninth verse. John the Baptist believed in the power of God. He believed that God could do anything. Look at verse number 9. He says, "And think not to say within yourselves, we have Adam, or Abraham, to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." See, John the Baptist said, you know what, if God wanted to, he could take those stones and raise up children. What he was saying, I believe in the sovereignty of God. I believe in the great power of God. I believe God can do anything that he wants to do. Amen? Well, you know what? As Baptists, we still believe that. Why? Because the Bible says so. Because it's the Word of God. I still believe God can do anything he chooses to do. He can do anything that needs to be done. Amen? See, that's the kind of God we serve. And that's the kind of God John the Baptist served. Not only that, over in Matthew, while we're there in the third chapter of Matthew, let's look at verse number 6. And he says, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. And when I'll go ahead and read verse 7 and 8. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Now if you'll notice here, John stressed the confession of sin. In other words, if a person's going to get saved, you know what? You're dealing with sin. It's not some game we are playing. If you notice, he refused to baptize those who came here called them a generation of vipers and warned them. He said, "You haven't even come forth with fruit for repentance." And John the Baptist stressed the fact that, you know what, when you get saved, you're dealing with sin. You're getting your sins forgiven. You're saying, I am a sinner. Amen? And I still believe that. I'm a Baptist. I believe it. Why? Because the Bible says so. If you're not a sinner, why do you need to get saved for? And John the Baptist refused to baptize those who would not deal with their sins. Amen? So again, see, when we look at it, is it any wonder that Jesus pointed us here and took note of John the Baptist? He wasn't just taking note of a man. He was taking note of what this man believed and what he was preaching, what he was teaching. And that's what he wants us to do, you see. So remember that. When a person gets saved, they've got to deal with sin. Amen? I mean, you've got to deal with sin. See, we're sinners. Yes, I know. No, he said he confessed their sins. I know you'll never, and I can't never confess every sin I ever did in all the world. I'd miss some, I'm sure of that. But I want to tell you right now, we ought to confess that we're sinners and mean that in the bottom of our heart, that we're old rotten sinners and we need God. Amen? So if a person's not willing to do that, old John the Baptist was saying, I'm going to go baptize you. I'm going to baptize you. You know, you're not dealing with sin, so we need to realize that people are sinners. Well, we need to still stress that as Baptists. People of sin come short of the glory of God. Amen? All right. And then also in the, and again, I'm going to, well, let me see here. Let me look at Matthew, the third, third chapter, while we're there. Let's look at verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? And in verse 12 he said, Whose fan is in the hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. John the Baptist stressed judgment. He said there's judgment coming. There is a wrath, there's a day of wrath approaching. It's coming. Again, you know what? We still believe that. I still believe that there's a day of judgment coming. I believe there's a day of wrath coming. I believe a day coming when God's going to judge completely all men. Going to judge the Christians for their work as a Christian, but he's going to judge the lost. He's going to judge them. They're going to have to face judgment. John the Baptist preached that. I mean, he preached it. He didn't leave it out. He preached it. He taught it, you see. Well, you know what? If I'm a Baptist, I believe I need to preach that too. I need to teach that. I need to believe it. And we need to preach that. In verse number 9, notice he said, "And think not, you say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." In other words, he was teaching, you got to be responsible for yourself. You can't look and say, well, Abraham was my father, so everything's all right with me. And that's what a lot of the Jews did. They said since they was a Jew, they came out of the lineage here of Abraham, then everything was all right with him just because they was a Jew. Oh, no, no, no. This is an individual thing. This is individual judgment. And we've got to understand, you know, it's not just because someone's a child, your child or my child, is our children and we're Christian and that they're all right. No, it's got to be an individual thing they've got to come to. They got to get saved. Amen. They got to get born again. So John the Baptist taught the personality of sin. In other words, that each person was responsible for his own sin. Amen. We still preach that. You know why? It's Bible. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That means every individual. Not just a group of people or not just someone because they've been in church or all of this. They have to deal with sin. They have to come to the fact and realize that they're responsible for their sin. See, John the Baptist taught that. Amen. And then also, and let's go back, well, let's look here. In verse number 11, while we're here, look at verse number 11 and 12. He said, "And I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." He taught here, he taught what I guess you could call it the supremacy of Christ. In other words, there was none. He said, "I can baptize with water, but only Jesus Christ can baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Only Jesus can do that. See, I can come, I can baptize you, I can baptize water, but I can't baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Only God can do that." You see, and so again, I'll take a moment, but years ago, I was in a service before I understood much, and I was invited to a Pentecostal service. And I got in this service, and this was before I was preaching or anything. It was after I was saved, and someone invited me, and I went. And here was these people, and this woman was going along behind some people in a pew and saying, "Watch my mouth, watch my mouth." And she was jabbering in some kind of jabbering. "Do like I'm doing, do like I'm doing." She was trying to teach them how to speak in tongues. I want to tell you, when I got out of there that night, I didn't know anything. I'm telling you, I didn't know anything. I dumb as box rocks. But when I got out of there that night, I know what the Holy Spirit said to me. "Don't you go back." That's what the Holy Spirit told me. That's a bunch of foolishness. "Don't you go back." So what I'm saying is, you know, God baptizes with the Holy Spirit, not man. Trying to teach somebody how to do something that's supposed to come from God. And again, we'll teach on that someday. I think everybody in here is familiar enough with the tongue movement to know that the modern tongue movement is not of God. Absolutely not of God, period. That was languages that they spoke on the day of Pentecost. Languages, not a bunch of gibberish. I think you all understand that. But anyway, let's go over to the book of Luke, the third chapter of the book of Luke. You kind of hold your place and maybe in Matthew and John if you can, and we'll go over to Luke now. Verse number 8, we'll read first. He said, "Bring forth therefore fruits worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within thyselves, we have Abraham to our father, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham." But notice in the first part of that, "Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance." And I'm going to read some more verses in a minute, but one of the things that John the Baptist taught was, John the Baptist taught good living. He taught that, you know, now that you're a child of God, he wasn't teaching good living to get saved. He was not teaching that. But he was teaching, you're saved now, you ought to do right. In fact, down in verse number 10, we'll start reading there, and I'll show you a situation where people came and asked him some questions, verse 10. And the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" And he said, he answered and said to them, "He that hath two coats, let him impart to him that hath none. And he that hath meat, let him do likewise." Now, if you notice here, he begins to stress good works. He's not stressing good works so that they would get saved or get to heaven, but they came to ask him asking, said, "What should we do now?" This was the general population coming. First of all, it was the general population. The people came and said, well, he said to them, and he said, "I'll tell you what, if you got two coats, give one of them away." He said, "Give it to somebody that has none, and he that hath meat, let him do likewise." So if you got some extra, you got some meat, and somebody needs some, give it. He's given us an idea here of what you should do as a Christian. Well, you ought to do good works. He's stressing good works. That ought to be a part of the Christian life. Good works and doing good things ought to just become natural in our life. Amen. So and then there was another group of people came. In verse number 12, he said, "Then also publicans to be baptized, and said unto him, Master, what shall we do?" Now you know who the publicans were. Tax collectors. Okay. So he had some special information for them too. He said, "What should we do?" And he said unto them, "Exact no more than that which is appointed you." See, that was one of their main problems was, and the tax collectors, the publicans of that day, they would take a lot more than which was appointed. I mean, they was allowed to make some money, but they took a lot more. And they cheated people. Remember Zacchaeus, you know, what he said when he came down out of the tree? He wanted to get things straight, you see. He was going to give to the poor, and he was going to give back fourfold of anything that he had taken. Well, he's given some instructions. All right, publicans, what you've got problems with is, he said, you're getting money that you ought not to have. Now, don't do that. He's given them some specific things that they should do in their life. Each one of us, folks, whether you understand or not, each one of us face different temptations of life, because we have different places we go and different kind of people we deal with, and whatever our business might be or our work might be, we've all got little different temptations of life. So he told the publicans, he said, "Extract no more than that which is appointed you." Now, and the soldiers likewise demanded of him, saying, "And what shall we do?" And he said unto them, "Do violence to no man, neither accuse any falsely, and be content with your wages." See, these were things that the soldiers had to face. There was times when they would, because of their position and their ability to do violence, they would treat people wrongly. Sometimes they would bring false accusations against them, see. And he says, no, don't you do that. Look at what you're doing in life and start cleaning your life up, and just be content with your wages. Be content with what you're getting. Be content with what they're doing for you. Amen. Be content, because they weren't. And they was trying to extract things from people through violence and false accusations and things like that. So he says, no, you be content with your wages. And he said, you start treating people right. You don't false accuse. You don't treat them wrongly. You don't hurt. See, he begins to give instructions to different individuals on how they should live. And if he was down here, he had talked to me about being a preacher. Dave, he had talked to you about being an electrician. Jack, he'd talk to you about being a farmer, a printer over here, your business, whatever. He would say to you, he'd have some instructions for all of us. of how we ought to do right, how we ought to live, you see, and all of those kinds of things. Well, John the Baptist stressed the fact of good living. And it's right for a preacher to get up and preach, you ought to quit your meanness. Sam Jones. You ought to quit your meanness. You ought to do right. Amen. All of us ought to do right. Well, yes, we should. Why? Because we're Christian now. Now, not to be Christian, not to get to heaven, but because we are on our way to heaven. Let's do right. Let's live right, you see. And so John the Baptist stressed that. Well, you know what? We Baptists ought to still be stressing those things. Why? Because it's Bible. You see, these are some of the things that's in today's churches that people don't want to come into the churches, and they don't want to hear this preaching on sin and all of these things. No, they don't want to hear that. And so you've got a lot of churches that has quit doing that. They started tickling the ears of the people. No, 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 John the Baptist did it. Why? Because it's Bible. And so we ought to still be doing it. As Baptists, we ought to still be doing that because it's the Word of God. It's Bible, you see. And we ought to be doing that. Now, again, over in Matthew, the 3rd chapter, I just want to stress this. Verse number 11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. In verse number 14, he says, but John forbade him, saying, well, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus had just told him to baptize him, and he says, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? And if you notice in those two verses of Scripture that we read, you notice the humility of John the Baptist. John, even though, and listen, he was a tough one. He preached it right down the line, but he was humbled. When it come to the things of God, he was humbled. He said, oh Lord, he said, I can't even bear your shoes. Lord, you want me to baptize you? No, you need to baptize me. See, you know, I always wondered after that. Now, I'm going to give a great theological question that I can't answer. I wonder if John the Baptist was ever baptized. Who would have ever baptized him? He was the first baptizer. Does it make any difference? No, it don't make a difference. I just want to throw that out. I want to stir up something, I guess. But I always wondered about that. Who would have baptized John the Baptist? I don't imagine John the Baptist was ever baptized. He was sent as the baptizer. And I think that's why he made this comment here. If there's anybody going to be baptized here, I need to get baptized of you. You need to baptize me, Lord. And of course, that wasn't the plan of God. But again, I just basically want to stress the fact that John the Baptist was a humble man. When it come to the things of the Lord, he always put the Lord first. Always honored the Lord in everything that he did. Well, I think that's where we're making some big mistakes. In our churches. I really do, across the land. One of the first things you want to remember is always honor the Lord. In all that we do, all that we say, give honor unto Him. Give Him the credit for all things. Amen. We'll make a big mistake if we don't do that, because I'll tell you what, God blesses that. Where He's honored, He will honor. Amen. So, like John the Baptist, he was always honoring the Lord. Yet, did he preach hard? Did he preach tough? Did he tell about sin? He certainly did. He done all of those things. But did he honor God? Oh, yes, he did. Always pointed people to Jesus Christ, you see. All right, not only that, we find in I don't know where we're at. Are we in Luke or... Let's look over in Luke just a moment. Luke, the 11th chapter. I'm only going to read one verse there. The very first verse. It came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, and of course this was the Lord Jesus, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. Prayer was an important part of John's life. And we know it was because he even taught his disciples to pray. Prayer should be an important part of the church's life. If we're Baptists, prayer oughtn't to be something that we feel like we just have to do. Prayer ought to be something we do because it's right and it's proper to do and it's important, and we know that. John the Baptist was a man of prayer. You see, we know that, and he taught his disciples to pray. So let's, as Baptists, let's keep praying. Why? Because it's Bible. Because it's the Word of God. We're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. Amen. We don't just quit praying after revival comes. I mean, after our meeting's over. No. We keep praying. We pray. See, just keep praying. Why? Well, John Baptist gave us a good illustration of that. See, he taught his disciples to pray. All right. Then also, of course, I think we've already talked about that. But John taught the reality of sin. We talked about how sin was, but he brought it down to the fact, and I don't know whether we'll get there or not right this morning, but he brought it down to the fact where, you know what? Wrong is wrong. Right is right. Sin is absolutely wrong. If it's sin, it's wrong. Amen? We don't play around with it. It's not little gray areas that we have. No, sin is wrong. Amen. And again, I think that's where maybe the Baptists have failed in quite a few areas, because they're not simply saying sin's wrong. Now, there's a punishment of sin. The wages of sin is death, the Bible says. Now, there's a punishment for sin. Amen. There's consequences for sin. We all know that. Amen. My sister-in-law, Linda, Donna was with her when she died, and she told Donna, she said, oh, if I could take quite a few years back, she said, Donna, I want you to do, and she even told her husband, she said, don't you dare sue the tobacco company. It wasn't their fault, it was mine. She died of lung cancer because of smoking. And it went from her lungs, went to her brain, and she told her husband, I don't want you to sue nobody because it's my fault. And it is. It is. And she was right about that. And she told Donna, and she said, oh, there's so many things I'd like to take back, Donna. And she died when she was 50 years old. She said, I'd like to take so many things back. She said, I'd do so many things different. Whether she would or not, I don't know. I mean, none of us know for sure what we would do. But she said she would. And one of the things she said, she'd love the Lord. She'd do right. She'd serve Him. She'd do a lot of things different if she had it to do over. There's a lot of regrets when we get down to life, sin. Amen. So John the Baptist preached on sin. Said it's wrong. Amen. And never wavered from that. Not only that, of course, in John, let's go over to John, the first chapter of John, verse 33. In verse 33, he said, let's read verse number 32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Now, when I read that portion of Scripture, I noticed something. John the Baptist said, you know what? God told me. Listen to what he says. He says, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. Who told him that? God told him that. So you know what that told me? He was in close communion with God. I mean, John the Baptist was in close communion with God, where God could speak to him, he could hear him. I don't know whether it was audible voice or not, but God spoke to him. And he said, now who you see the Spirit descending on and staying on, that's him. John never forgot it. So that tells me something. John the Baptist had a real close relationship with God. Amen. He had a sweet relationship with God. Where God spoke, he could hear. Well, you know, I think God wants to do us that way too. I think the Baptists of this day need to open their ears and listen to their wonderful God, who will speak according to his word, not contrary to it. There's a lot of people out there saying, I'm hearing a voice, but they're not hearing the voice of God because it's contrary to the Word. If it's contrary to the Word, you can be sure one thing, it wasn't God that spoke. True? Sure. God speaks according to His Word. Always. Never contrary to His Word. Never. Never. Amen. But John the Baptist had a real close relationship with God, because when God spoke, He heard Him, you see. And then in John 3, the 27th verse, did you notice something else that He taught? John answered, well, let me see, in verse 26, and they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from God. You know, as I read that, I noticed that John taught of the helplessness of man. We're nothing without God. And you can't do anything, is what he was saying, without the Lord's help. Amen. Can't breathe. He holds the very breath of life in His hands. You and I won't breathe another breath if He says that we're not to. See, we won't do anything, you see. We can't. We're helpless creatures. You see, we're certainly helpless in salvation. Can't get saved without God. We can't do anything. As Christians, you and I both know we can't do anything without God's help. It's Him that helps us in all these things. So once again, John believed in the helplessness of man, and I think we need to still preach it, still teach it as Baptists. We need God. We need His help. All right. You know, with the Bible, when it talks about names, a lot of the names in the Bible have a special meaning. They mean something. Today, most people, and some people still do that. They look up what it means before they name their children. And there's still people who do that. But a lot of times, we don't do that so much. We just name them because we like the name. And we just think it'd be a good name, and we like that. And that's, I'm not saying there's a thing wrong with that. I'm just simply saying, we've kind of got into that habit nowadays. Some people name their children Bible names, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that at all. I'm just simply saying. But back then, let's face it, the name of Jesus was a special name. It means Savior. It meant He is the Savior. He's the Lamb of God, but He's the Savior. Jesus means Savior. And He was named by God Almighty when He come, before He came, but He was named and told His parents what to name Him. He was named Jesus, and so names are very special. Well, the reason I guess I mentioned that is because even the name Baptist is special. It means something. It means all that Baptists believe. It means all that John the Baptist preached and taught, and the kind of person he was, and Jesus Christ pointing us to him and recognizing that he was the greatest of prophets. And so Baptist means something, and that's why I guess I get so aggravated when it's demeaned. And it's put above churches that are no more Baptist than anything. Now, I know I can't do anything about that, and I'm not going to try. I'm not going to go out on some tangent and try to change that. I can't change it. But it is aggravating, because the name Baptist is absolutely meaningful. It's something that's very, very, very important. So John the Baptist, and when he says he was a Baptist, whether you maybe know it or not, but Baptist is the name Baptist is in the Bible in the New Testament 15 times. It has some meaning to it. And I'm going to throw you another thing out here, and I want you to look at, but I want to go over to the book of Acts. Well, I don't have time. I'm sorry. It's time. But anyway, I was going to go over to the book of Acts. Maybe you can think about it. Did John the Baptist baptize the disciples? I know he did some. Did he baptize all of them? I don't know that we can know that for sure, but it's something to give you thinking about until next week. Amen. But I know he did some of them. I've kind of got a feeling that he may have baptized all of them because they accepted the faith of John the Baptist and the beliefs of John the Baptist, and who else would have baptized them unless some was baptized by some of the other ones. You know, I don't know. It's just something to think about. But I know he baptized some of the disciples. So we'll look into that. That's really important. Amen. It's theological, but we have a reason for looking at that, all right? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you again today for your goodness and kindness and your grace to us. And thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our wonderful Savior, how good he is. And thank you for him coming and dying on the cross for our sins. Help us, Lord, to always stand forth and preach the Bible, the Word of God, and hold fast its truths. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.